today's installment of looking at creation and seeing how God tells things about himself and about us through what he has made and what's around us, we are going to be exploring unleavened bread. To begin with, we have to go way back to whenever the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. They were being called out by God, and as the final plague was happening, he called them to make unleavened bread. Now, many of us would think that leavened bread would be way more delicious as they are getting ready to go, but by not putting leaven into the bread, it was taking out the entire step of having to wait for the bread to rise. So only having unleavened bread meant that they were going to be ready faster to go whenever he called them. From this point on, unleavened bread became a staple whenever Jews would celebrate the Passover meal. Leaven became a symbol for temptation or sin or all sorts of manners of evil, even hypocrisy or materialism. And in 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 6, Paul says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Here, Paul is calling us to be unleavened bread. That means quick, ready to go whenever God calls us. He says in verse 6, he says that it only takes a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole lump. And so I know in my life that it only takes a little bit of compromise, a little bit of sin to radically alter a relationship or my job or my kids. It can affect the entire day. And there are times where I can compromise in my head that, oh, it's just something small. It's just one bad word that I said about someone. Or it's just a show that it's not that big a deal if I watch it, even though it has a ton of stuff that gets stuck in my head. I can handle it. I can watch it. And then I end up having nightmares, or I start seeing these different temperaments that are negative in my own children. And it is obvious that it doesn't take a lot of sin to see consequences. And just like, you might not see the bread rise immediately once you put yeast into it. It just takes time. And that's how sin works. And that's how I've seen it work in other lives. That's how I've seen it work in my own life. So this calling that Paul has put on us, this idea of being unleavened, of letting go, is confessing your sins and repenting and trying to be more gracious, attempting to seek God instead of seeking your own pleasures and following temptations. It's something that we're going to be called to daily, laying down our cross and following him. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. So now that we've tackled the unleavened portion of this lesson, we're going to look at bread. Yummy, delicious bread. I am so grateful to the Lord that he decided that he would use bread to show how much of a wonderful provider that he is. He used it by letting it fall from the sky, literally in the form of manna, whenever the Israelites were now wandering into the wilderness. And then fast forward, and he's using it as he's feeding 5,000 people, more than 5,000, by ripping up 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeding these people as they were wanting to hear from him and learn from him as he is the great teacher. Now in John 6, he feeds these people, then he walks on water. So the next day they start inquiring with their rabbi, with Jesus. They're confused on that they want more food from him. They want to see signs from him. And they say in verse 28, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What works do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now this is awesome literature. All our lives, we hear amazing stories that at the beginning something happens, and then later on when the author decides to reincorporate it in a new way, it just blows our mind. We love it as audience members when we're just not expecting something to come up again. And so here they are, and they're saying, well, we've heard, you know, all our lives that that's what God did. And he says, Jesus says to them in verse 32, this is in chapter 6, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's saying, yes, that story about bread coming, that was God. And God did it again, only he upped the game. He sent me down. I am the bread. And you're never going to get hungry again. They had to gather each day exactly what they needed, and they couldn't get any more, and they couldn't get any less. And I am just like that. I am enough. Only I'm going to feed you for eternity. And I'm going to feed you in more ways than one. Later on, Jesus is sitting with his closest friends, his closest loved ones, as we do typically whenever we're celebrating a holiday for our culture, for our belief systems. So here he is, and he's surrounded by his loved ones. And it's the Passover meal, and as I said before, they have, as a staple, this unleavened bread to remember what God did whenever he brought them out of Egypt. So he takes this bread, this normal thing, this ordinary thing, and in verse 26 of Matthew 26, it says, now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body. So he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it, he shares it. And if Jesus is the bread, as he says he is, then isn't that what we're supposed to do with him? What we're supposed to do with what he gives us? That we should bless it, that we should thank God for it, that we should break it, that we shouldn't just keep it just to ourselves, that we should share it. Jesus is meant to be shared. He's meant to be a communal experience. So, just a quick recap. Unleavened is this idea of being ready for God to use us, and bread is this idea that Jesus is the one who sustains us. He's the one who supplies all of our needs. And so I hope that you were able to learn about how unleavened bread relates to us and how it relates to Christ. And maybe it'll impact the way you take communion next time.